exactly what they need. I'm asking you to speak to them, to show them how much you love them, to reveal your goodness even in this moment right here. I'm asking you to stir up their passion for you. Because, Lord, we need your zeal. Let your zeal consume us today. Let us boil over with enthusiasm and joy in knowing you. Thank you for that today, Lord. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I let my zeal slip. I'm just going to ask you to come down here and let's pray. Just get out of your seat and come on down here, and we're going to pray. We're going to rededicate ourselves to the Lord, and we're going to ask God to restore the fire, and then we're going to make a commitment. We're going to make a commitment to God. We're going to make a commitment to Him. Amen. We're going to do the first works. Praise God. Let's pray. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. Lord, you spoke to me today. I'm so glad you did. This is a manifestation of your goodness, and it is the proof that you still love me and that you're working in my life. I want you to work your zeal in me. I want my zeal restored. I want my fire back. I know I'm not living all that bad, but Lord, you know all things. And I'm giving my heart to you again. I return to you, my first love. I love you with all my heart. I need you, and I want you to work in my life. Remove from my life everything that's not agreeable to you. Take it out. Destroy it. Annihilate it, and let my heart be true. Let my heart be pure. May my affection for you be strong and fervent and on fire. I thank you right now, Lord. I will do the first works. Minister to me what you want me to do.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100, or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Perfect preaching, teaching, ministry of the Holy Spirit this day to do afresh, not only in the word, but the witness, what you choose, that we might give to you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And then, Lord, allow the perfect power of the Holy Spirit to so empower us that we might practice these principles for profit and give you the praise. It is in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
and amen.
God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of St. John. And we want to look at chapter 9. St. John, chapter 9. And I want to lift out of the 9th chapter, verse 5. And recorded are these words. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I want to talk about the transforming light of Jesus. The transforming light of Jesus. Here's an interesting story we have before us. But even as it opens up and we go into all of the details that surround the story, I think it is important that we highlight and spotlight the person of this passage that has so much power, the one that is necessary for us to understand, who's able to do all things, and even in the earthly sense, he had a timeline that he had to meet. And he had miracles, and he had salvation, and he had deliverance, and he had many ministries to impart while here on planet Earth. One of the things that I want us to look at, he says in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. And notice what he says next. While, during the time, in the meantime, in this extended or allotted time, he says, the day or the night cometh when no man can work. Now, if Jesus is alluding to the fact that even in the earthly realm and in the earthly sense, there is only so much one can do in a lifetime. There is only so much that is allotted to one to do in a lifetime. And it behooves us to understand the deeper message in Holy Writ, that we only are allotted a certain amount of time and we don't have a minute to waste. For the message is so important that time is not on our side. Though Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, only lived here on planet Earth 33 and a half years, he did more than many of us could ever dream of doing in a lifetime. One of the things that helped him to achieve all of the great and wonderful things he did was the fact that he knew, again, number one, who he was, two, whose he was, but three, he knew where he was, and four, he knew what he had to do, and five, he knew he only had a short time to do it in. So he was very much cognizant of the fact that there were some things that interplayed in his life as he was sent to work. He had to do the work that would please his Father. I want us to back up and look at John's account of Jesus Christ as the light. Let's go back to the first chapter, if you will. St. John chapter 1. I want us to look at verse 5 and verse 9. Verse 5 is saying, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Jesus Christ has illuminating and transforming power, so much so that what he does, just as natural light is able to shine and pierce the dark, and the darkness cannot overtake the light, so is Jesus' truth that he imparts. He said in his own word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And listen, Jesus has made clear that any man that he has made free is free indeed. And that means that the darkness cannot comprehend. You cannot be overtaken when Jesus has liberated you and has given you authority and has set you and sealed you against the day of his coming. So again, you need to see this thing. But look at verse 9. It says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now verse 8 says, he was not that light, speaking of John, but was sent to bear witness of that light, which is Jesus Christ. Now, here John portrays him as a light that has come into this world. First of all, it is designed to illuminate darkness. Some folk don't know darkness until light is shined upon the darkness. Some folk don't know they're wrong until the truth or the light has been illuminated so that their understanding is fruitful to know what darkness really is. Can I tell you, some of us have lived in darkness so long that we think darkness is right. Now I want you to see something else. I want you to turn, if you will, to chapter 3, verse 19. Because I want you to see Jesus' position on destroying the darkness, but not destroying those who are in darkness. Look at what verse 19 says. Well, look at verse 18. It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now look at what the word says, "And this is the condemnation." You know what the condemnation is? The fact that Jesus has already come into the world and has provided an answer and a way, so there is no excuse for not knowing Jesus for yourself. There is no excuse not knowing what God has imparted unto us. There is no excuse for not having that Jesus has provided for us. But notice what the Bible says. Men have made a choice to refuse Jesus, because to refuse Jesus means to stay in the situation that they're in the condition that they're in. To accept Jesus means to change the situation that you're in and to bring illumination to the situation. There are some folk who are wrong and don't want to know that they are not anything but what they are. They don't want any light to be shined on the situation. They don't want any in truth brought to the situation. Some folk are going the wrong way and they know it, and they don't want you to tell them no differently. Look at what the Bible says in verse 19. I want you to see, the Bible says, "They love darkness rather than light." Have you ever tried to minister or witness to somebody and they just wouldn't even hear you? They tune you out. They throw up the hand and tell you, "Speak to the hand," because y'all know the saying. I mean, they just blot you out, turn you out, because they don't want to know what you're trying to share with them, because it means then they're going to have to make a choice. And you cannot have the light to shine upon your situation and ignore it. You're either going to accept it or reject it. So he makes clear that he's already provided truth, so the world no longer has an excuse of not knowing what Jesus has to say to the world. I want you to look also at the eighth chapter. The eighth chapter. And it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Look at this word. Jesus declares, "I am the light of this entire world." The truth, the illumination, the power to transform this entire world lies within me. Now notice what he says. He says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." That's a certainty. You can't walk after Jesus and walk in darkness at the same time. Can I tell you, light and darkness do not comprehend the same space, occupy the same space. If you follow Jesus and he's the light of the world, have you ever been walking maybe on a trail or some darkness and someone carried the light? Wherever the person with the light walked, it illuminated everything around them. As long as you're following the person with the light, you are walking in light. But if you walk opposite of the light, then you begin to walk in darkness, because light and darkness occupies different spaces. So if you're going to follow Jesus, light surrounds Jesus, illuminates Jesus, and gives to Jesus, again, that brilliance that only Jesus has. And when you are walking with him, you share that brilliance, that brightness, that illumination. But to walk away from him is to walk into utter darkness. You cannot not know the way when you are walking in the way, who is Jesus the Christ. Listen at this, because I want you to see this word. It says, "But
Whoever shall walk in darkness, but shall have, you shall not, rather, let's look at it. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of what? His life transforms our dark sins and our dark souls into a brilliance of his holy light, which again signifies us the glory of God dwelling and dealing in the hearts of men. Now let's look at this story back in the ninth chapter, because I want you to see this. Verse 1 says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Look at what Jesus answered. Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, when they talk about this man didn't sin nor his parents sinned, it did not mean in the conclusive sense or the total sense. It simply meant sin as it related to this particular sickness or this blindness. That was not a sin that was the result of the blindness of this man, but that he might be a part of the miracle, miraculous power that lie within Jesus. So notice what he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Everything that Jesus did, it was already pre-authorized by God. Jesus knew what he had to do, when he had to do it, to whom he had to do it, and how he had to do it. And he did it with the fullness of vigor, vim, and vitality, because the Spirit of God was in him to heal and to deliver and to work many miracles. Now notice what he says. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, he means as long as his truth, his word, as long as that represents him is in the world, because we are lights of him. We have been lit by him. We have his divine favor and his divine light in us. So his word is in us and he is in us. So he is still presently in the world through us by his word being in us. So the point I'm making at this point is what Jesus did then, we can do now. Because we are still that light that represents him that is still in the world today. He was speaking personally of himself, personified as that light that is in this world. He made it clear that when that time comes and death comes upon the human flesh, I don't care who you are, you cannot work in death at the same time on planet Earth. That comes a point in time when you will have to cease your working. That's why the work must be done while you are yet alive. Question comes, if you're not going to do what God's called you to do now, when are you going to do it? Because can I tell you, when you die, that's not the time to start a healing ministry. When you die, that's not a time to start laying hands on the sick and feeding the hungry and clothing. That's not the time. So if you're not going to do what God has called you to do now, when are you going to do it? If you're not going to be a witness to that light now, then when are you going to be a witness? Because that was a man who tried to get converted in hell and found out that hell ain't the place for conversion. Hell has finalized your decision that you lived on planet Earth. You remember the rich man with Lazarus? He got down in hell and recognized that he didn't want to be in hell, and decided at that time in hell that he wanted to be a Christian. Not just a Christian, he wanted to be a preacher. Lord, let me go back and, you know, preach to my brothers. And Abraham said, no, they have other preachers there. If they don't hear them, they will not hear you. If you're not going to work the works of the Lord now, when are you going to do it? So look at what the Bible says. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And look at what he did now. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now look at the light now. Jesus Christ, who is now going to give sight or illumination to the man's eyes who were blind. Verse 7 says, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Now Jesus is making clear, because here's this word again in verse 4, same word, sent. I must work the works of him that sent me. That same authority he has, he gives it to the man. He sent him. Yeah. He sent him with instructions that would illuminate his light and his life and his sight if he obeyed the Lord. Look at the light giving light. Look at the light opening up and giving to us a reality that we can only find in him. Look at what the Bible says again. Verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation said. He went his way therefore and washed and came what? See, you can't come to Jesus blind and leave the same way if you obey him. I don't care who you are, what your blindness is. You cannot leave the same way you came without the light illuminating your heart, illuminating your soul, illuminating your spirit, illuminating your situation. And in this situation, he not only transformed this man's inward parts, but he transformed this man's ability to see, not just only in the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm. Verse 8 says, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? I always bring up these. There are some folk that watch it. Now notice who these folk were. They were neighbors. I don't care what neighborhood you live in. You got some neighbors just like these. Now notice what they noticed about the man most and what they brought up. They brought up the fact not so much that he was blind, but that he sat and begged. Now, he didn't see them, but they saw him, and that's all they can reference when they talked about him. Now, verse 9, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. That reaches a point in time, my brothers and sisters, when you've had the transforming, illuminating light of Jesus Christ to touch your life, and folk are hypothesizing about and theorizing what they think you are and who you are, you need to be able to speak for yourself. Look at what verse 9. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am. Hallelujah. Look again at what the Bible says. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Verse 11, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. It was as today is the Lord's day. It's Sunday for them, but it's Sabbath day. Listen, he said, then again the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes and I washed and do see. 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Listen at this now. They are talking about the Lord of the Sabbath, not keeping the Sabbath. They are talking about the lower law in the face of the higher law. They're talking about the law in the face of the Lord. And Jesus had to make clear on another occasion, listen, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You've got this thing mixed up and messed up, and you had these folk who were so obedient to the law and the letter of the law that they even missed the spirit of the law. It was etched in stone, could not be changed, and they walked, talked, lived, and breathed according to that law and experienced no grace in their lives, not even to the point that a man would be healed on the Sabbath or our Sunday. In this situation, they condemned Jesus and said he was not of God because he did not keep the Sabbath. You see, my brothers and sisters, God doesn't work according to our standards. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, and we've got to learn the difference between the two. Notice again what the Bible says. Verse 16 again, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. He is not of God. He is a sinner. And can I tell you, there were some folk in the audience and our congregation who knew differently. And whenever people who don't know Jesus talk to people who do know Jesus, I don't care if they're in the same place, there's going to be a division. Because there are those who've been touched, and then there are those who don't believe they've been touched. But that's why your personal witness and testimony is so important, that you've got to learn how to speak for yourself. And it behooves me how some people have been blessed, have been delivered, have been set free, have been bought, and have been given all the goodness of God, and they sit there with their mouths sewn up together and will not give God the praise nor the glory for his goodness. Listen, because I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Notice what the Bible says. Verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Now, some say he's not a man of God. Others say he's a sinner. I say he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Now see, there are always those who are trying to disprove a miracle of Jesus. You know, and there are false prophets who have brought on and who have so agitated this reality, because they have been folk who've been planted in meetings where fake miracles. Can I tell you, we serve a God who don't need no plants, no fakes. He's still in the miracle working business today. And listen, he is still able to do now what he did then. All it takes are believers who will trust him, activate their faith, believe, and receive the miracle that God says is theirs. So they didn't want to believe him, so they called his parents. And look at what the Bible says. Is this your son? Yes, it is. You say he was born blind? Yes, he was. How does he now see? Now look at what they answer, verse 20. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Him, he shall speak for himself. Oh, there ought to reach a time when mom and daddy can't talk for you. There ought to reach a time when mom and daddy ought to know they weren't there when he touched you, and when he ministered to you, and when he healed you, when he delivered you. Oh, there ought to be a time when you go back and tell mama, I have met Jesus. I tried to tell you a long time ago, the first time I knew I was here, mama told me I was born here. But then the second time I ran home and told mama when I was born again. Listen at mom and daddy. Yes, that's our son. Yes, he was born blind. We don't know who did it and we don't know how we did it. But what we do know is he is of age. Ask him. He can talk for himself. And see, I need to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that God wants you today to be able to speak. It just disturbed me. Big old grown man, big old grown woman standing up there, and the mama got to do all the talking. Dad got to do all the talking. This stuff. You get to a point where you say, wait, excuse me. Can they speak? Oh, yeah, they can talk. Well, let them. Somebody ought to hear me here. Listen, I want you to see this, because this is important. Verse 22 says, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Now you've got to realize that fear entered in their hearts. They would be disassociated and disenfranchised from the fellowship in the synagogue, because the word had already gone forth that they were denouncing Jesus Christ. Any man said he was the Christ, anyone edified by him, exalted him, would be exercised out of the kingdom. They would be put out. So they knew this. So they said, now listen, you know, he's a grown man. He has had this experience. We cannot speak for him. All we can do is verify that that's our son. They did their part, and yet they still allowed the boy to do his part, and there was nothing that could be done against what they had said in truth. Listen again at what the Bible says. Verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. See, here was their problem. That Jesus was right here in their midst. Folk were coming to church.